Hi, and welcome to Last Man Standing here with me, Paul Stevenson. This is Sunday, the 6th of November 2022. This year is rapidly disappearing. I join you tonight after a few weeks of absence. It's been a bit hectic my end over the last few weeks, and one issue or another, I haven't been joining you on my Last Man Standing show here on Sunday evenings. But I'm here tonight, and I will be joined with Patrick Slattery, Dr. Patrick Slattery, of course, of RBN as well. And on Monday, I will be doing a show with Andrew, or sorry, Tuesday, I think it'll be aired with Andrew Carrington Hitchcock and Mark Dankoff. That's the Dankoff Report, which is on Tuesday. It used to be once a month, but it's now fortnightly, and I will be able to participate in that this weekend, or sorry, on Tuesday. So we're going to probably be talking about the Ukraine situation, the Russia-Ukraine situation, and I'll get Patrick's comments on that and anything else he feels is noteworthy at the minute in these chaotic, precarious times. I should say before I go on, do support the network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, Republic Broadcasting Network, and if you go to the website, you will see the various donate options there available to you. You can also send in cash, but everything's on the website, the details that you need to do that. So do support us, because we are one of the few networks which really cut through. We don't hold back when it comes to talking about the truth, unlike most of mainstream media, of course, and even, you know, some of the alternative media won't touch the Jewish angle, for example. But we talk about everything here that we feel we need to talk about. So let's get Patrick with us. Patrick, are you with me? Well, welcome to the show, Patrick. Are you with me?
I'm with you. Thank you very much for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. I haven't spoken to you in a little while. My schedule's been a bit hectic recently, and I was out of the country, went to Milan last weekend. And, you know, it's interesting because you could describe Milan as multicultural, but it's refreshingly multi-European culture. A lot of Germans, Spanish, French. You'll hear, you know, all these different accents, so Europeans. It's strikingly different from when I flew back into London. It only took me 5 days to forget just how, you know, bad the situation is here with demographic changes. But when I flew into Heathrow, you'd swear you'd flown into India. It was very, very striking difference between Milan. But of course, we've got an Indian prime minister as well. So I guess we're getting closer and closer to being India rather than the UK, Patrick. Are you with me, Patrick?
I'm with you. I'm with you. I just dropped my phone. That's all.
No problem.
You have an Indian prime minister, indeed. I remember I had a friend who, 15, 20 years ago, he was, I knew him from an American university. He was Indian, and he was going to move to Britain. And his wife was in Britain, who was also Indian. And I remember him telling me, I don't know, when he went through immigration at Heathrow, saying something snide to the immigration officer, like, you know, who's the colonist now? Ha ha ha. Which at the time I thought was a little bit funny, but in retrospect, wow. And now you've got an Indian, you know, running the show, or at least running it on behalf of the true overlords. And we know who they are.
Yeah, they're not so numerous, but numbers are not the problem with these people, of course. It's the fact that they run and rule everything of anything of any significance. Just looking at, you know, the DOJ, for example, which is running around intimidating anybody who dissents even slightly. You've got
Eric Garland, who's a Jew, and then you've got Majorca. He's the head of what? Homeland Security.
Department of Homeland Security. That's correct.
So no one ever seems to scratch their heads and thinking, there's a tiny percentage of the population. How do these people always find themselves in, you know, positions of such power and influence? I guess some just don't want to go there. The likes of Tucker Carlson, who's very individually focused. I suppose his worldview doesn't allow for this clique, to describe them and to identify them. But to me, and even when I listen, I maybe the American audience will find this insulting. I don't know. But this is an ongoing battle, in my opinion, with between the ecclesia and the synagogue. This is the history of Europe in the last 2,000 years. And America, I think, has forgotten that. And I'm not sure America is going to last, Patrick, you know, because I think there's a much bigger picture here, which is a longer history. And, you know, America is a young country. What do you think of that? And I say, I don't mean that to be insulting, but once you've allowed the Jews into your country to run amok, there's some serious problems, you know. Do you think the United States and the Constitution can continue, even when you look at the demographic changes? I mean, demographics are very important, you know.
I think it's an open question. So, demographics, you know, we had substantial non-British
bad connection here, Patrick. Sorry, repeat that. Okay.
States. The
I'm losing you, Patrick.
Okay, I'm very sorry. I'm going through a dead zone. I'll be better in about 30 seconds. But
no problem.
I was just saying that the American founding stock is British. It's from the British Isles, Scotland, England in particular, Wales, Northern Ireland. All right. Just let me know when I'm back.
Yeah, you're back now, but hopefully your connection will be a bit more consistent.
Oh, my connection will hold. There are just a couple of dead zones, and there's not much I can do about those. But
no worries. Yeah, you were saying about the those who established the United States, from mainly British and maybe some Northern. Yeah,
Britain in particular. You had certain number of Germans who were in North America at the time of the Revolution and the writing of the Constitution. A certain number. And, there were Dutch. The Dutch had founded New York City. So the Swedes had founded Wilmington, Delaware. But these were British colonies and British colonialists. And when non-British people started coming in large numbers, shut up. Sorry. It's always something, isn't it? When they started coming in large numbers in the, say, 1840s, well, 1840s, you had the potato famine. And so you started getting the Irish. And the Irish were different partly because they were Catholic, but also because they were largely illiterate and they belonged to secret societies. And so they were very disruptive, but they eventually, they melded in. And, Germans were coming in very large numbers. In fact, I think Germans now contribute more to the white American gene pool than even the English themselves. They came in very large numbers. I don't think they are as disruptive as the Irish.
Then well, later you had consistency. You had consistency because the Germans were also Protestants.
Yeah, for the most part, they were Protestants. Some were Catholic, but I think it was probably more Protestant. They certainly weren't as disruptive. And then you had Italians and Poles and Greeks and whatnot who came in the Ellis Island period late in the 1800s and early 1900s. And you know, they were different. And it wound up expanding what, you know, expanding what it meant to be a white American. But the thing is, they wound up, and it might have taken a little bit of time, but they wound up identifying very much as Americans. And if you went to, when I was a kid, if I went up to somebody, which I did as a kid, I would always, I was very interested in where people's ancestors came from, and I would ask. And people say, I don't know. I say, well, go home and ask your parents. This is like fifth and sixth grade. And they'd come back and, okay, I'm Polish, I'm half Polish and I'm half Irish, or I'm, you know, part Scottish and part Italian. And there was a lot of mishmash. But the fact is that as young kids, you know, maybe if you grew up in Boston or New York or Chicago, there may have been pockets where people had very distinct European ethnic identities. But for the most part, they didn't. They were Americans, and if you were talking about George Washington, that was, you know, the founder of their country. They identify with George Washington, even if their ancestors were in Poland and Italy at the time the country founded.
Because I find this interesting, because obviously, you know, America is a young country. I sense from maybe when I'm talking to you guys that you are a little bit more connected to your European heritage than maybe some other Americans. I don't know. What do you think about that? How do you identify? Do you feel American, or are you more cognizant of your European roots?
Well, I mean, honestly, I grew up in a anti-war house, and my mother was political, and being liberal or left-wing in the 60s meant being against wars and against interventionism. You know, there was there was nothing like being woke back then. You know, you might be for civil rights for blacks, but it was nothing the way it is now. But still, growing up in the 60s and 70s, I identified very much with America, but of course I knew America's history was shallow. It was less than 200 years. And so if I was reading Winnie the Pooh or Alice in Wonderland or a lot of other stories that took place in England, I also felt like an identification with those, right? If I was hearing, Hans and Gretel, the fairy tales, or the Brothers Grimm, these European stories, I identified with that too. It seemed like, you know, my heritage. So my heritage went back in America, but then it also went back in Europe and in England in particular, even though I probably have more Irish ancestry than English ancestry. I have both. And, what it meant to be Irish when I was growing up, it just meant my father telling me that I had to eat my potato skins because of, you know, our ancestors would have starved to death without potato skins. That's about as far as it went.
Yeah, I quite like potato skins myself. I eat the skins. Do you not eat the skins normally, no?
Yeah, no, I eat the potato skins because that's what kept my ancestors alive, according to my dad. So,
yeah.
And he probably...
No, it is very fascinating.
Yeah, he had more of an Irish identity because he grew up in his grandfather and great grandfather's households, who were immigrants actually from England, but they were Irish immigrants from England.
Yeah, well, I think it's probably safe to say that the Irish Americans do maintain a connection with their heritage, perhaps more than say a German American or a French American or whatever. I mean, I think
right.
The Irish are pretty ethnocentric. I mean, they do sort of remember their great grandfather who came here and whenever and stuff like that. Maybe more than the Germans or even the English, you know.
Yeah. So, but anyway, just getting back to the issue of whether it survived, what happened, of course, was that amongst those in particular, Ellis Island era immigrants. You also had a couple million Jews from the Russian Empire in particular, maybe also from the Austrian Empire, but from Eastern Europe. You had these Ashkenazi Jews who came over in large enough numbers, and they were very radical and led radical movements that, you know, that sometimes wound up drawing in Italians or, you know, other immigrants, or just, Americans, drew in some Americans, but these anarchist or socialist movements, and were very, very disruptive, extremely disruptive, a lot more than the Irish. The Irish eventually assimilated, but the Jews have never really assimilated as a group. I mean, individual Jews have, but as a group, the Jews just have never assimilated, and
never intended to, of course.
No, and they have brought in, much more diverse groups. So they divergent groups from very different backgrounds, as different as possible, as a conscious effort. And originally, like, it was done under the pretense that, oh, well, everybody's going to become an American. But then once they got here, it's like, no, you can't tell them not to practice their cultures. You can't tell them not to speak their languages, and just as one example, and before I kick it back to you, there's a black comedian, a tall black comedian. It was not funny. It was not anybody who was funny. It's some like African name, and his last name was Bell. I don't know. It was like Devante Bell or something. And he had a program on CNN, and he would go around and maybe visit Southerners and try to show how racist they were. And then at the end of his show, it would be like a little bit from his stand-up routine. And I can't imagine he really had a comedy career, because he wasn't funny. But I just remember one thing. He said something like, what was it? Assimilation is a four-letter word, right? Assimilation. Why would they assimilate? They've got, cultures, proven cultures that have lasted for thousands of years. Why would they assimilate? That was kind of the deal, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, they immediately went to work and just dismantling the Christian culture there. And of course, that's what Henry Ford was reacting to when he wrote the book. They also brought in jazz, which is like modern day degeneracy, equivalent to what we would have today with a sort of rap music, which glorifies violence and all sorts of, degeneracy. And also, I studied the book, The Great Gatsby, which was also about the Jews, which I didn't realize at the time. We studied that book for my A-levels, and I didn't realize, we weren't taught the Jewish angle in that book. But it was very, very strong in it. And you have quotes in there that were sort of glossed over, where you had one of the main characters. What was his name? He was the guy who was married to Daisy that Gatsby wanted to court. And he tried to court her. And he talked about, the threat to the white race in that book, which we weren't told about. But I remember seeing the quotes and just sort of glossing over it and thinking, okay. But later I realized that Gatsby represented Jews, which is quite interesting, because he was he didn't have any roots, really, and he was a phony in many ways. Where he made his money was very suspect. He was a romantic character in a way, but he did represent the Jews, basically. It's quite interesting. Have you read that book, The Great Gatsby? He was an Irish writer, Fitzgerald.
No, I haven't. I think there was a movie that I might have watched decades ago, but no, I don't. Yeah. I don't really remember it. And when I watched it, I really wouldn't have been. I wouldn't have had enough understanding of what it really meant anyway at that time.
Hmm. Yeah, well, there's definite allusions to Jews in there. Fitzgerald was an Irish writer. His heritage was Irish. He unfortunately drank himself to death, I think, when he was 42, which is a shame. He never really got over in the 20s. He went on a bender, which didn't stop, you know. But it was interesting to realize that book had a lot of themes in there about Jews and their arrival in America and their influence. But all right. So we talked a little bit about history and heritage and America and Europe. The midterms are coming up, Patrick. You were telling me off air. You were you've been to some rallies. Do you want to just expand on that? It's quite interesting.
I have. During this election season, I've been to rallies. I've been to, in particular, I went to an Obama rally and I went to a Trump rally. It was an interesting contrast. You know, the people are just so different. The Obama rally was easily two-thirds women. And while there were people of color at the Obama rally, it was very largely white. And you know, Obama spent a lot of time talking about a woman's right to choose and all of this stuff. Obama only spoke for half an hour or so, which was fine. I was happy when he left the stage. One thing is he's a real phony. So he speaks in this black accent, and when he talks to you, he clips the last syllable of every sentence, and it's also phony because I know he didn't talk like this when he grew up in Hawaii. He's phony, and he kept accusing.
He couldn't be real if he tried, that guy. You know, he doesn't know how to be real.
And the thing is, okay, so his father was from Kenya, but he didn't grow up with his father. And his mother, who was a teenager when he was born, I guess she was maybe 19, she wound up marrying an Indonesian and went off to Indonesia. And then eventually came back. And I know he went to Punahou High School in Honolulu. And I don't think he had any contact with any blacks, probably until he went off to college. You know, I guess he went to Columbia. Was it that where he went? And he would have had a little bit of contacts with blacks there, but they wouldn't have been typical blacks. And then he got married to Michelle. But I think, you know, until he was well into adulthood, he had no contact with blacks. So why are you talking like that? That's not you.
Yeah. Well, there's probably a lot of black people who recognize that this guy's a complete phony and, that would lead us. You were telling me, I was going to say it'll lead us on to Kanye, which we can get to. But you were also
all roads lead to Kanye.
Yeah. You were telling me you had a debate with someone at the event. Let's hear about that.
Okay. So just finishing up on Obama, all he could talk about was the Republicans lying, which, you know, wow. The Republicans lying. Well, the big lies, the big hoaxes have been more from the Democrats, right? And so it's really the half African kettle calling the pot black. Is that what we'd call it? And then abortion and maybe gayness, right? Talking about gayness.
Of course.
Now, at a Trump rally, I went to a Trump rally and, But at both rallies, there was at the Obama rally, there was a black guy with a megaphone who was yelling at Obama the whole way through the speech. But, you know, the police.
A black guy. And what was he saying? What was he heckling?
No, he was anti-Obama. And, you know, you never did anything for blacks. And then he was pointing out a lot of lies. And I liked him. I wanted to say something to him, but he was the black guy was just too angry the whole time. And a lot of people, including the blacks who were walking by, were heckling him. But the police kind of wardened him off and they gave him like a little maybe 10 foot by 10 foot wardened off area. And he could just megaphone to his heart's content. And it didn't disrupt things too much because it was kind of in a corner. People had to walk by going in and out of the event, so everybody knew he was there. but it wasn't really disrupting the speech. At the Trump event, there was an old lady who all of a sudden, when Trump said something about the fake election, she just started screaming and screaming. Now, the Trump event was much, much larger, a much larger crowd. So Trump was never aware of any of this. But the people who were in earshot, and unfortunately, this lady was like right next to me when she started. It was very annoying because, you know, she's just sitting there screaming and we couldn't hear what Trump was saying because she was just screaming about how he's a loser and he lost the election. And, you know, people tried everything. They tried ignoring her. They tried chanting, you know, America first or Trump, Trump, Trump. But nothing worked. And finally, the police came and just pulled her away. Or I think it was the Secret Service. But, the rallies are different. So the Trump rally is more men. There's lots of women. The women are married. The women who come to the Trump rally are married. The women who come to the Obama rally, for the most part, single. They're not married.
Are green-haired freaks?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Freaks. People with face tattoos and piercings and people. Oh, and when I was leaving the Obama rally. And
probably several abortions in their history.
Well, here's something. When I was leaving the Obama rally, there was this white woman, and she had a couple of kids with her, like toddlers, and her toddler boy might have been like 4 or 5 years old, was wearing like a billowy skirt, but he was clearly a boy.
As
so, yeah, I mean, it was just really weird. And the Trump people, they were overwhelmingly working class. And, you know, they all, you know, they looked like they knew how to operate construction machinery like that. And, you know, they might have had tattoos on their arms, but they didn't have tattoos on their faces.
Or pink hair.
And yeah, they Trump talked about everything.
What did he talk about?
He talked about all sorts of things, but he'd talk about the fake election. He'd talk about, the coronavirus. He talked about China, and he was saying what a great relationship he had with Xi Jinping. We had a great relationship. Well, we got along. We were real good friends, Xi Jinping and I, until the China virus hit. And then the China virus, yeah, and we're going to hold them accountable. But China. No, I had a great, which I did not appreciate. I don't want him saying we'll hold China accountable. But 90% of the stuff he said regarding China was how well he and Xi Jinping got along, right?
Did he mention Putin and the war?
He did not, but one of the congressional candidates who came up on stage, oh, yeah, he did, actually, he did. He said this never would have happened if he was president. It never would have happened. Now, he's not specific. Why wouldn't it have happened, right?
Well, unless, like we said, always said before, you know, when this war started, they started talking about how we need to be tough on Putin, and this would never happen if Trump was in power. Well, unless Trump conceded some of the Russian demands, and I'm sorry, but exactly the same thing would have happened, you know. So
what does it mean nothing would have happened? And Trump does this often. He'll say things in a way that it can be ambiguous. It can be interpreted in different ways. So, you know, I think if Trump were because he was president for 4 years, he said, I was president for 4 years and it never happened. And you know, this is true. Victoria Nuland had been in Obama's State Department, and she was pushing that she did the coup d'etat under Obama. And, pushing.
Yeah, I think Victoria Nuland, maybe she's a Jew as well, Patrick, is she? I don't know. Maybe it's just a possible.
Yeah, I think her mother actually might not be Jewish, but I'm not sure about her mother. Her father was obviously Jewish. And then she's married into like Jewish neocon royalty. She's married into the Kagan family. So her mother was Jewish is besides the point. She is. She's Jew central either way.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. But so, you know, it could be like Trump just wouldn't have been pushing Russia to the point where it had to do these things, right? If Trump didn't expand NATO, Trump had been questioning NATO's very existence, its worth. So, you know.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, in his mind, when he's saying this, like, he knows, he may be saying this thinking it wouldn't have happened because I wouldn't have pushed him that far. It wouldn't have happened because I wanted to get along with him. But he also knows that when people hear him say this never would have happened, that, like, these, you know, working class people in his audience, a lot of them are thinking it's, yeah, because you're such a tough guy, and he wouldn't, Putin was scared of you, and he wouldn't have dared it. And he knows that his words are being interpreted in that way by lots of people.
Yeah, it's an unspoken thing that he leaves sort of lingering in the air for the MAGA lot to think that he's a tough guy, that somehow Putin goes to bed every night worried about Donald Trump, you know?
Yeah. So you had that, but after the this granny started like disrupting things, I lost the train of Trump's speech, and I just wanted to get away from her because she was so obnoxious. And I moved back, and then I saw this guy who was like trying to file a report or something. I looked and he was speaking in German. And he was a correspondent for a German, I guess, a news network, WELD, Weld. I think you're familiar with it.
Yeah, it's pretty significant.
So I talked to
Germany.
Him. I talked to him, and I talked to him about Ukraine. Well, first I said, you know, wow, we've got some crazy leaders, but what about you guys with Olaf Scholz and Annalena Baerbock? I mean, is it insane? Who's a Jew?
Baerbock.
Is Baerbock a Jew?
She's a Jew, of course.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not surprised. I'm the only thing I'm surprised at is that I didn't know. But yes, she's Green Party. And I was just saying, you know, the Green Party, when, say, Ralph Nader was... He was never in the Green Party, but he was nominated by the Green Party. And at that time in America, the Green Party was anti-war, first and foremost. But the Green Party in Germany has been just really belligerent.
Mm. Well, you know. By the way, I was just to interject, there was another angle in this, and they don't even hide it anymore, but... I forget who it was. I think it was a Jew. Tucker Carlson was talking. He obviously didn't identify them as a Jew, but whoever it was, it might have even been Garland. I don't know. We're talking about how it's intolerable for to witness the Christian Orthodox Church in Russia and how this is a threat to the West. We spoke about that before, which is a big problem for the Jews because they fear the rise of the Orthodox Church in Russia. Because they have a history with that, of course, and they overthrew the Tsar and everything else. But I forget who Tucker was talking about. But
he was talking about Jamie Raskin, who is a congressman from Maryland. Jamie Raskin, who is also married to a Jewish woman who had been on the Federal Reserve Board and then was Obama's Assistant Secretary of Treasury. Her name is Sarah Bloom Raskin.
Right. Yeah. So this guy just came out and basically said that the Orthodox Church in Russia was intolerable, basically, you know. I mean, what more evidence do people need, you know? It's like who and what they represent, you know. I mean, it's just like this is in a country which was, you know, America would consider itself still Christian. And this guy openly says that it's a threat and intolerable to have the Orthodox Church rising in Russia, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, we started the show talking about the Indians who are now very heavily involved in the British government. But, you know, the thing about the Indians is at least they have the decency to look different. And so people know that they're Indians. Whereas, right? Whereas the Jews, the Americans don't know. So, you know, Tucker will talk about Jamie Raskin. He'll talk about Merrick Garland. He'll talk about Victoria Nuland. Mm. And nobody knows he's talking about Jews. Right. Mm. And
maybe Tucker's hoping that people will figure it out without him having to say it.
People have not. Very few people haven't figured out. When I talk to normies, nobody knows. Nobody knows this.
Kanye West is making some inroads, though, right?
And yeah, and that's why they need to shut down Kanye. I mean, because everybody, even the Jews' biggest opponents, for the most part, with the exception of marginalized people like David Duke, they won't go there. They won't go there because, well, if you go there, then you're going to be personally attacked. You may get put in prison, like David was put in prison. You're going to have your whatever assets, whatever wealth you've accumulated is going to be taken from you. They'll ruin your life. And so
of course it's
understandable that people don't want to go there. But the problem,
well, of course,
the giant problem is that when people don't go there, they're talking about all these problems that are going on in the United States with mass immigration, whether it's the wars, whether it's black riots, whether it's the corona apocalypse. They can't go there. And so people are saying, well, why? What's the source of our problem? Who's causing this? And then it becomes the Bilderbergers. It becomes the Chinese. It becomes the lizard people. It becomes whatever. And, you know, in some cases, you know, you can maybe talk about liberals or something.
It's all noise. It's all noise created by the Jews.
Yeah. But sometimes, you know, the Chinese, this is, or the Russians, you know, when it's the Chinese, it's Russian disinformation or it's the Chinese. And at the Trump rally, there was, it wasn't Trump, but somebody else came up and was saying something about how, you know, Joe Biden's run by the Chinese faked the election. And even there are these Orthodox Jews who follow Trump around and go to his Trump rallies, and they're dressed in their Orthodox garb, and they go around handing out, you know, how they as Orthodox Jews support Trump. But then
he's a Zionist.
But yeah. And then when you look at the literature they hand out, they're blaming this stuff on China.
Yeah, of course, you know? Of course. Yeah,
and
yeah,
so
yeah.
People are confused and people don't know. And, you know, so just getting back to this correspondent from Veld, we got into a bit of an argument, kind of a heated argument about whether or not the Americans and the Germans had promised Gorbachev that they wouldn't expand NATO in exchange for German unification. He was in complete denial about it. And finally I said, well, you know, the thing is, whether or not, I mean, I said, this absolutely happened, but it doesn't matter whether or not it happened. It's absolutely a retarded policy to try to bring in these countries that have their own issues with Russia, bring them into a defensive alliance. How does that help? How does that help Germany any? How does that help America any to bring in Ukraine?
Yeah. I don't think there's any appetite. There's no appetite in Europe among the European people. You're talking about a very small group of people who want to keep poking the bear because the Germans, the Italians, most of European countries want no part of this war. They're protesting against it. The media aren't covering it. They're protesting against membership of NATO. The only people this coalition of the willing, as they like to call it, if they go into Ukraine, it's basically the arrogant Poles and probably with some reluctance, the Romanians. It's going to be a very hard sell to sell this war to any of the European countries. The Poles have got some interest there, and I think they're at a serious risk of getting a serious hammering from Russia if they keep annoying them, because there's a lot of Poles in this war in Ukraine, and there's a lot of British. And Liz Truss, good old Liz, poor old Liz. The Russians hacked her phone, and 1 minute after the Nord Stream pipeline was blew up, there was a text message hacked from Liz Truss to Anthony Blinken saying, quote, "It's done."
Yeah, assuming that was legitimate, and she's dumb enough to do it.
But we are not at risk of, Russia won't tolerate this forever, you know, this British interference. And so now we have these clowns in our country putting a target on our back. And I don't know what that would look like. It could be a cyber attack. It could be anything. But we just keep sort of, you know, if that's true, it means that the British did it on behalf of the, you know, State Department in America. It's done.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is a big problem. I mean, you know, it's just like, again, nobody in this country really wants, you know, to be going to war with Russia. It's absolutely insane. You understand?
Yeah. Well, so this correspondent, he said something about Putin having started the war. And I shut him down right there. I said, look, he didn't start the war. I said, you had Victoria Nuland is the architect of this. She was also the architect of the 2014 coup, the Maidan coup. And, yeah. You know, they went in, overthrew the government, put up a government. And I said, she's also, guess what? Because he had been saying something about, like, in 2008, some, you know, Angela Merkel, her opinion on NATO expansion, that she was not for a NATO expansion in 2009. They say, well, okay, and who was pushing it in 2008? Who was the American ambassador to NATO in 2008? And it was Victoria Nuland. And why is she doing this? And I went into the whole Jewish thing. I said, I know you can't talk about it. I know you're not allowed to think about it. I don't expect you to think about it because you have no freedom. I said, we're losing our freedom here too, but this is a Jewish vendetta. It's because Putin was put into office by Jewish oligarchs to save them, and then he betrayed them. And the Jewish oligarchy that runs America and Europe, they can never tolerate this. They can never accept it, and they have to make an example out of Putin. And this whole thing wasn't about saving Ukraine. It's not about, they're happy to sacrifice Ukrainian territory and Ukrainian lives. This was an effort to overthrow Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, far from you know, helping the Ukrainians. I predict with reasonable confidence that come January, February time, Ukraine won't exist. I mean, it's going to be destroyed. John Mersheimer spoke about this. They're either going to take more territory, or they're just going to completely destroy the place when winter comes. And I think that's what's going to happen, unless there is some sort of diplomacy, which Putin now realizes is not on the cards. The Ukraine are, you know, facing imminent destruction of the complete and full might of the Russian military. That's coming. That's what's going to happen. They're going to destroy the place. You understand? It's just not going to exist anymore, you know?
And, you know, the election that's happening in America, the Republicans, who are going to certainly take control of the House of Representatives, may well take control of the Senate. It depends how successful the it's easier to cheat statewide elections. But the House of Representatives, with the House of Representatives in Republican control, there may, not necessarily, but there may be a shift in priorities away from a blank check for Ukraine towards things in America. It's not necessarily going to happen. It may happen. But, you know,
it's happening. Wouldn't hold my breath.
I don't know. I'm saying may. It's not necessarily going to happen. It may happen. But, you know, the Ukrainians are losing on the battlefield. It's harder and harder to fake this, to keep Americans thinking that, the Ukrainians are actually winning really hard when Russia is annexing province after province. And you've got four more provinces that they're probably going to be annexing by springtime.
Yeah, Pac-Man.
Yeah. So I guess, it's Pac-Man. And so what's going to happen? And I don't know how much is going to be left of Ukraine. I don't know how much. I don't know how much the I don't know how much the Russians want of, you know, parts of Western Ukraine, like Galicia. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know that the longer this goes on, the less of Ukraine is going to be left. And, you know, it could be wind up four more provinces, and maybe the whole thing annexed to Russia. Or parts of it that used to be in Poland might be annexed to Poland. There's Romania, as you mentioned, might have their eye on a little piece. And there may be a rump state that might wind up being somebody's satellite, somebody's little satellite. And it could be a Russian satellite. It could be a NATO satellite. But the longer this goes on, it's the worse it is for the Ukrainian state and the Ukrainian people.
Yeah, and it can escalate if these Jews are crazy enough, if they start sending in, you know, more, if they actually put American troops on the ground and British troops on the ground there, this could escalate very, you know, widely into Europe, and the whole thing could just explode. So it's very dangerous, a precarious situation out there, because you're dealing with people who are crazy. Jews are crazy people.
I think the craziness is largely paranoia. I think it's largely, if
it always is, Patrick, it always is. That's the problem. It's just like, these people are paranoid. These people are like mentally unstable. You understand?
If they feel that they've got the tiger by the tail, and if they ever relinquish control of that tiger, it's going to turn around and eat them. Well, the thing
if you
torment the tiger long enough, then the tiger's going to want to eat you.
Well, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. They do it all the time. It's a bit like, you know, they say Putin, you know, it's just like he's taking this Russian Ukrainian territory, and he might take more. And they'll say, oh, see, we were right all along. This is what he always planned. But it wasn't what he always planned. It's a bit like if you've got a wife who keeps accusing you of cheating on you. And you haven't been cheating on her, and she keeps making your life a misery, and she pushes you into the arms of another woman. And then she says, see, I was right all along. But it's like they cause it. It's a self-fulfilling thing, you know. It's just like, this is the history of the Europe that I was telling you about. These people are paranoid, and they bring about all these problems because they bring about their own worst fears because of their paranoia. And then because of their paranoia, their aggression, and they get a reaction eventually, you know.
Is that it's been a recurring cycle in history. So anyway, I wound up shutting down this German guy. Like, he seemed deflated and defeated. But, you know, and it's not like I'm not trying to galvanize hostility towards Jewish people. I really am not. But the thing is, we can't solve the problem if we can't identify it. If you're on a boat and it's taking on water and sinking, and you know you're there trying to like fix the boiler, that's not going to work. You're still going to sink.
Well, exactly. If you've got cancer, there's no point trying to deal with flu, because it's not going to help. You've got cancer.
Yeah. And so, but what's happening is, because people won't talk about it, nobody understands it, and then instead of removing the Jewish power that is corrupting us and taking us in all these horrible directions, instead the hostility gets redirected towards Russia or towards China, and nothing gets better. And I just keep seeing and that's why I have to be a broken record. Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. Well, Ford said the same thing. Now, you know, these quotes are in my head. He said, that's all will be necessary. It is against this that the Jews protest. You must not identify us. They say you must not use the term Jew. Why? Because unless a Jewish idea can creep in under the auspices or the sort of assumptions of other than Jewish origin, it is doomed. And he also talked about the day will come when people will be, you know, not so polite and not be so concerned about identifying the Jew, because things will get so bad that, you know, it's kind of gone beyond the pale of being polite and not identifying the Jew, because if you actually want to survive, you know.
Yeah. Okay, how much time do we have left?
Maybe 10 minutes. So what's Kanye been up to then? Give us an update.
Update? Hello?
Yes, give us an update on Kanye.
Okay. The gift that keeps on giving. Well, you know, I'm trying to keep on top of it, like, because it seems like never a day goes by. But you're having more and more blacks. I don't know about whites, but you are having blacks who are coming out in support of Kanye. And I guess there was a black basketball player named Lamar Odom. And I wasn't really aware of it because I don't really know these things. But I guess Lamar Odom was married to one of Kanye's wife's sisters. So Kanye's married to Kim Kardashian, and Lamar Odom was the, you know, the black husband of one of the other Kardashian sisters. And he's come out supportive. Now, there was a, I guess the most recent development, there was a white, like a child actor or child singer from 20 years ago who just got, he was some sort of singer. I guess is he the younger brother of
Macaulay Culkin? No,
his last name is Carter. It's something Carter.
Oh, I see.
I think it's Carter. And his older brother, I think, was in NSYNC with Justin Timberlake.
Oh, I see.
And so he's the younger brother, and he was he on a TV show? He had a record album, something like that.
It's ironic, but these celebrities that the Jews promote are backfiring quite spectacularly.
Well, yeah. You know? And then, of course, he had almost certainly been like sexually abused, and he's been in and out of rehab, and he's got face tattoos. And so apparently within the past 48 hours, he had tweeted out, you know, Kanye, we need to talk, right? Well, what did that mean? It was something that, like, you look at it, you don't know what it means. And then the next thing you know, he's found dead in his bathtub. So I, you know, people who have been sexually abused and are in and out of rehab and have face tattoos, yeah, they may well wind up dead in their bathtub. But the timing of it, like within hours of tweeting something to Kanye, and this is somebody whose agent has been convicted of like child molesting, homosexual child molesting, and he's a Jew. So you know, you had this, so here's, you got this guy, something Carter, whatever his name is, and he's been molested and abused by some Jewish Hollywood producer. And it screwed up his life, and he was trying to reach out to Kanye. So it's, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to jump to any conclusions, but you're asking for the latest. Well, that's the latest. Kanye's not backing down. He's not showing signs of backing down. One other thing, Jason Whitlock, who is a black sports commentator, and he's frequently on Tucker's show. He's Tucker's black friend.
I know. Yes.
Yeah. He's kind
a
of heavy
guy. He's always talking about the Bible.
He's a Christian guy. He was a college football player, and strange, he has
strange worldview. I've heard his worldview again, devoid of anything Jewish. But anyway,
he was talking about secular Jews. Well, okay, most of the Jews in America are secular, and you know they. The religious Jews cause their own problems, but the big, big problems are caused by the secular Jews. I mean,
he said this.
Yeah. No, so he's talked about the problems caused by secular Jews. You know, everybody, a lot of people who think, well, I can talk about Jews if I separate out the bad ones from the good ones, you know, and so it might
like
be,
Tucker likes to
some
do.
People might do it by saying, oh, it's just a tiny elite, the Jews at the top, all the rest are good. Or it might be, well, it's just the Ashkenazis, the Sephardic are good. Or it could be, oh, it's really the Khazars, the real Jews are good. You know, they like to separate them out. And so there might have been some of that. The religious Jews are fine, but it's just the secular Jews. Well, the secular Jews.
So who did he say this to? Well, yeah, there's a secular.
He said it on Twitter, I think. But he said it in a public format. But then he's also tweeted out a link to Joel Stein's article saying Jews really do run Hollywood. What of it?
Oh, I wonder, will Tucker ever talk to him about this, or will he appear on Tucker again after these tweets? Maybe
he did appear on Tucker. That's the question. And he did appear on Tucker's show on Thursday or Friday night. And after he was insinuating, he was talking about Paul Pelosi. And he was insinuating very strongly with funny language that what he was saying is, even though Nancy Pelosi has spent all this money on boob jobs, Paul Pelosi was like having gay sex with this guy who broke into the house. And he was laughing about it. And Tucker was having I don't know if Tucker really expected this, but there's Jason Whitlock laughing about it, using kind of funny metaphors and saying that Paul Pelosi was having gay sex with this guy. And and that Nancy Pelosi must feel really bad about it. He said, I feel sorry for Nancy Pelosi after all this money she spent on boob jobs.
Yeah. Well, maybe
she's
Nancy
the real victim here.
Money for, yeah, maybe Nancy paid for the boob jobs for not for her husband's attention. Who knows, you know?
I don't know. I have no idea. But anyway, that so he was on. So after having talked openly about Jews, after supporting Kanye, after tweeting the link to the Joel Stein article, Tucker had him back on. Not to talk about Jews, though, and not to talk about Kanye, but he had him back on.
Yeah, but the fact he hasn't back on at all, it would suggest that Tucker knows, but just hasn't got the spine to say it.
And, you know, Tucker's got an awful lot to lose, and I can understand that, but, you know,
yes, of course.
Kanye's got an awful lot to lose, and he is bravely or stupidly, but whatever, or, you know, foolishly, but it's the most encouraging thing that's happened regarding the most important problem. It's the most encouraging thing that's happened maybe, I don't know, in my lifetime. With
yeah, well, you know, there's only so
Vladimir Putin taking it on.
Yeah, exactly. You know, these people, there's a limit as to they think that they're omnipotent, but they're not. And they're a bunch of criminals. And eventually people get sick of it. And eventually people start talking about it again. Back to the history of Europe. This is what happened, because they're a mad dog. They don't know when to stop. There's no restraint. And then eventually, you know, you look at the history of Europe. These people have been expelled from every country in Europe. And if you listen to, I mean, some people, you know, you talk to them and they think, you know, they afford them the benefit of the doubt. They buy into the Jewish lie that this is anti-Semitism. I mean, if I was sacked from 24 jobs and they kept saying, this guy is like, he turns up late, he's rude, he's lazy, he causes all sorts of problems. And I said, these people are against me. You know, they're like anti-Paul. Who would believe it? You know, you're not going to give the benefit of the doubt to that guy who gets sacked from 24 jobs, and the complaints are always the same. But such is the power of the, you know, Jewish media and the fear that they produce, that people say, oh, Europe's so anti-Semitic. You know, they kicked out all these Jews out of the country. They never think maybe it's a problem with Jewish behavior here, you know.
Yeah. It is. Well, you know, Obama, just get back to Obama. Obama was saying, you know, if you hear folks talking and they're talking about this one particular group that is causing all your problems, whether it's white people or black people or Jewish people or gays, if they're talking about one particular group that's causing your problems, then you can be sure that these people don't know what they're talking about.
Mm. Well, so Obama's a con man. Well, anyway, Patrick, I think we're almost out of time. Do you want to just wrap it up?
Let's wrap it up.
It's positive about Kanye.
Yeah, it is positive, and he's not backing down.
No, good for him. Why should he? I mean, you know, it's just like somebody's got to speak. As I say, it's ironic, you know, because they promote these black artists to for the purpose of degeneracy. But it's a kind of a sweet irony, because he's a very, very famous guy with a lot of influence, you know.
He is.
All right, Patrick, thank you for joining me. And I think we'll be doing Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's show tomorrow. Then it'll be aired on Tuesday, I believe, the Dankoff Report with Mark Dankoff. And Mark's great. We always cover a lot on there. So I'll speak to you tomorrow again.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Patrick. Take care. Okay. I will be back again next Sunday. As I say, I haven't been around for a little while, but back on track now. So hope you enjoyed the show, and I'll be live with Richard Carey tomorrow, midday Central and RBN, as well as I say, with Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, and that will air on Tuesday on the Rents Network. Okay, take care and God bless.